I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
How about you let me drive?
Oh, no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I wanna drive.
Just drive, baby.
It's the question that drives us.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
Yes, indeed. Just about 18 minutes left in the trading day. Let's get to it with Tom Plum, who is President and Chief Investment Officer over at Plum Funds, based in Madison, Wisconsin. That's where we find him on the phone. And I've said this before, I'm a broken record on this one, because the Plum Balance Fund, consistently a top performer in the 98th percentile for the past 5 years, meaning it beats just about all other funds in the category, returning on average annually more than 14%. He's a favorite voice of ours to talk to about balanced investing and just investing overall. Hey, Tom, nice to have you here with Tim and myself. How are you?
Oh, it's wonderful. Thanks, Carol. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
So talk to us about this market environment and how you guys are playing it, any adjustments you've made to your balanced fund.
Well, last year, of course, the growth stocks treated us very well. Those ones that were driving some of these changes that we'd been seeing for years but really got accelerated because of the pandemic. You know, so the digital wallet, virtual shopping, streaming, the cloud, all these different services really gained more and more footing last year, and actually you did not see any type of a recession in those types of companies. This year, obviously the focus has been more on the cyclical recovery, and some of our growth stocks have taken a rest, especially since the end of January. But we believe that these companies and within this universe, there's still some really attractive stocks, and we're very optimistic about them.
Well, one of those stocks that you're optimistic about is Intuitive Surgical. The Da Vinci machine just dominates when it comes to robotic-assisted, minimally invasive surgery. Talk a little bit about why you're continuing to be optimistic about it.
Tim, you know, it's a good question. Last year, obviously, there were some of these companies that had real trends behind them that basically got stopped or slowed down dramatically because of the pandemic. One of them was those companies providing services to the surgical suites, especially if it could be postponed. Many, many of the hospitals stopped taking surgery that they didn't have to do and started to defer that. And so the robotic surgery that Da Vinci has really was one of those victims. But in the meantime, still in the hospital industry, they're installed base increased by 7%. So you're setting up a strong base. At the same time, they've had incredible amount of peer reviews that have indicated that the uses and the types of things you could use this robotic surgery for have been expanding. I think there's been over 24,000 peer review articles published.
So you're talking about, because it's not a case of we can't get back those lost surgeries, right? And we can only do so many surgeries at a time. But you're talking about those review, peer review articles and so on that are just going to result in more people getting their devices, Intuitive Surgical's devices, and putting them in their facilities.
Right. What happened, Carol, is that when you have all these different peer reviews, you start to expand the use. So mm-hmm. you may use robotic surgery for actually doing biopsies in the lungs or for hernia surgery, for example. When in the past and initially, the biggest driver was prostate surgery and other soft tissue in that area. So now you've got stapling, colon rectal surgery. All those things are being using the robots from, you know, basically from all the research that's been done on how it enhances the procedure, the time, the recovery, and even the surgeon's useful life.
What about when it comes to the reopening trade? Constellation Brands, wine and spirits. How are you thinking about the company in 2021 as people start to venture out to bars and restaurants more so?
Well, you know, the first two COVID bills were definitely there to mitigate the cascade and effect that you can have from some type of a shutdown like that. The third one was elections matter, but now we're talking about infrastructure. And infrastructure reminds me of an old adage that, you know, you can take a hungry man and you can give him a fish and you feed him for a day, but if you teach him to fish, the beer industry is going to go on forever. And,
I'm just guessing so in the control room back in New York, everybody, the guys are all like, yeah, yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And this is one of the best, if not the best, managed beer company in the world. It's got Corona, Modelo, Pacifica, each one of them basically a standard teaching of how to market a product and brand it. You know, Corona's Vacation in a Bottle, Modelo's Latin Pride, Pacifica is young guys at the surf or at the beach. So they've been setting up this basic marketing and branding, and we think next Thursday morning when they report, there's going to be some really important things to watch. One is how the reopening is going to affect in-premise sales. They have a capacity issue with their Mexicali plant not going online. And thirdly, they own at least control or could control Canopy Growth, the largest cannabis in Canada. And with liquid CBD drinks coming available in Canada this summer with the New York initiative, I believe there was eight other states that decriminalized marijuana this last election cycle.
Right.
We think those are all catalysts that could drive the stock for quite a while.
So when we talk about Intuitive Surgical with you or Constellation Brands, is this a case of you've been adding to the position because you're expecting a move up, or is it just these are names that are in the portfolio, you haven't changed the position, but you're just expecting now is their time?
A little bit of both. We have been adding a little bit to Intuitive Surgical.
Okay.
Constellation we've held for about 5 years.
Okay. And what about MasterCard? That's another name that's on your radar.
And MasterCard, I think, is a poster child for the cyclical recovery meeting the secular trends. The digital wallet is here to stay, and this company has been a leader in that. They definitely got hurt by the destruction of business travel and personal travel and entertainment spending, but more importantly by the inter-country volumes that were down dramatically, down almost 60% at one time. So here they have an incredible profile of patents and intellectual property in using cryptocurrencies. And we think that they've been able to maintain their great profit margins, and they're going to continue to benefit from the digital wallet.
Hey, Tom, another company that's in the top 10 of your holdings in the Plum Balance Fund is Apple. And there was some news this week from the Sway podcast from Kara Swisher in the New York Times. Tim Cook saying on the podcast that he doubts he'll be at Apple for 10 more years, which at first was surprising for me to hear. But, you know, he is 60 years old now, and he did say that 10 years is quite a long time, and he probably won't be there for that much longer. But it got me thinking about who runs this company, right? After Steve Jobs ran it, after Tim Cook ran it, who's like the next person to run Apple? Who could Tim Cook leave it in good hands with?
Yeah, obviously they will have no problem at all attracting the most talented people and retaining their most talented people. They are the most successful firm that we've seen in years and years, largest market capitalization in the S&P 500. They've been segments have been doing extremely well. I think he's got a lot of internal great staff that they could be choosing, and we'll see in the next few years. But you know, this is standard. I mean, not everybody's Warren Buffett who lives forever. Eventually, you're
or wants to work forever.
I don't know what Tim Cook does when he doesn't work, though. I mean, the guy loves his job.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
When Tim Cook took over Apple, he was only worth just over $300 billion, and the market cap now, I mean, wow, more than $2 trillion. Unbelievable.
And if you remember the first couple of years, the amount of criticism, he didn't have vision, he inherited a great company, doesn't know what to do with it, all those type of critiques came out, and look what he's done.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable. Among some of though your other big kind of high flyers, I mean, Tim talked about Microsoft, but it's Apple is in your portfolio. Amazon is in your portfolio. I mean, these are the names that you like and that have definitely, you know, served you well in the last year or so. You maintain the positions. Have you had to pare back because of the gains just to kind of keep the proportions and the portfolio mix right? What have you been doing with them?
Carol, that's a great point. It is a balanced fund, so you do have to, by your own discipline, cut back a little bit on those ones that really ran. And so we had a number of positions that had grown well over 5-6%. We're more comfortable in the 4% area with those, even though we love the companies. We think that we'll also be able to find other companies we love.
What types of companies are you looking for right now?
Well, we still think that we're in the basically the fourth industrial revolution, if you will, with data, and we think it's going to continue. We're going to continue to look for these companies. You know, a lot of people talk about whether or not this is like 1999. I'd say it's like the late 1800s and early 20th century. This is an incredible time of innovation, and the companies that are able to do this, especially those with this new model where it's incredible cash flow, capital light for this future growth, and recurring revenue that's coming in, I think there's just incredible opportunities. And, you know, when they come down a little bit, I just remind people that in 2018 to the early 2019, I think Amazon lost about a third of its market cap. And, you know, if you got shaken out of it, you miss an incredible run after that.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, listen, because you're a balanced fund, you do also play, what, in the corporate bond market. Where are you finding opportunities there?
We use our fixed income to moderate the volatility of these growth stocks.
Yeah.
And so we basically stay pretty short, and we've been finding the opportunities have been in fixed income instruments that were issued by smaller banks, for example, because we know that they have a beneficiary of the rising interest rates. They're probably not going to call these. And we can pick up a couple hundred basis points on a 3 to 5 year note. So we've been staying with investment grade relatively short.
How are you thinking about the U.S. economic outlook versus the outlook of the rest of the world as we continue to pick up the pace of vaccines here? We're in fact waiting for President Biden to make some comments from the White House right now about the state of vaccinations in the U.S. Yes, it's going well in the United States, but we still have a long way to go until we're on the other side of this pandemic. And worldwide, it's absolutely a different picture. How do you see this playing out when it comes to the world economy and, of course, the U.S. economy?
You know, exactly, Tim. The divergence within economies and between economies has just been expanded dramatically here because of the pandemic. So we do think that we're going to have a real significant cyclical recovery in the United States, and that the government actions that mitigated the cascading effect that you get usually from an economic shutdown were basically, I wouldn't call them painless, but the pain was greatly reduced by the government actions. So the United States is in pretty good shape, and we expect significant growth here. China has has taken out all of the 2019 records and are continuing to move up. But the rest of the world is not the same. Europe is bad. Emerging markets are going to be very difficult. And we expect that this divergence is going to be a lot like it was just a few years ago, where the whole story was China and the United States.
Does that weigh on U.S. equities, though? Because so much of U.S. equities and U.S. companies, it's a global story right now?
Yeah, It definitely will. You have a couple of other issues. Our president's proposed raising income taxes and including worldwide income taxes. There's going to be a lot of things that could reduce that values, I guess. But we're confident that the cyclical recovery is going to overwhelm all that, and that we're going to see some real significant growth. You know, if you think about it, in most recessions, you go through that painstaking reduction of capacity and capital, and then you come out of the recession with these highly leveraged companies that have survived being the leaders in profit growth. This will be really no different. The companies that have survived here have their capacity aligned with where it should be. They've got their cost structures in line. And we're going to see some incredible margin expansion with, you know, top-line growth in the United States. I know that most of the S&P or many of the S&P members, we've got about 45% of their revenue comes from outside the United States. But, again, that's going to be selective, and I think we're going to primarily look at how much their domestic growth is going to basically shield them from some of the weaknesses around the rest of the world.
Yeah. Hey, listen, one last question, and I'm just curious, Tom, you know, when you look at the outlook specifically, it's funny what you just said and just building on it, you know, there's so many times people come out and say those five, you know, FANG stocks, it's, you know, they've run up too much, it doesn't make sense, but that's where the growth is.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, this trend going forward, you know, is just going to be these companies that have been winning are going to be able to keep winning. Until there's something that changes that, I think you'd be very naive and a little too premature to cut them all back or to sell them or to sell the whole story. I know that we're going to get some real nice cyclical recovery plays, but some of those will pan out for 6 months, a year, but then the reality of their business models is going to come back. But these companies that we've been talking about with this incredible cash flow, recurring revenue, in basically continuing to show top-line growth. I mean, we're expecting MasterCard to match the cyclical growth to come the next 2 years with 25% plus earnings growth.
Interesting, interesting, interesting. Hey, Tom, thank you so much. Really appreciate that deep dive into some of the names that you like as well as your market outlook. Tom Plum, President and Chief Investment Officer at Plum Funds. His balanced fund, as I mentioned, top performer over the past 5 years.